Okay, hello everybody out there. I think we've got a few people, at least three, that are logged in. And you're wondering why we're here. Well, it rained just enough this morning for us to decide to stay at the house. We're going to go out to the lake later. So that's good for you. And that was part of the consideration. So hello. I don't think we could have streamed video. We probably could have gotten audio out there, I was thinking, through a phone. But anyways, we're here. We're running a little bit after one, but the herding of the cats is getting a little harder because everybody's really, they're relaxed cats. So they're moving slower. They're not running to and fro across the earth. So that's good. And so I've got some stuff fresh off the press, which is always exciting. It's always exciting to know that I'm hearing what's real. And how do I know that? Because it's got nothing to do with me. And what I hear is just a continuation of a principle. It's not really new. It's just taking one of the tentacles and applying it again to the same truth. And to me, that's what's critical, and that's why I keep emphasizing that James 3 and John 4 are so important, that we have to come back every time we get troubled by anything. We have to come back and ask ourselves, what am I believing that's not causing peace? What is it I'm believing? And it's very easy when you realize you've got to turn the inside of your sleeve over. You know, we keep wanting to go forward in the direction we're going when we're going the wrong direction. See, we want to find something in front of the thing we're looking for. And that's the wrong way to go. You've got to go back and say, okay, where did I jump off the track? What is it that's troubling me? What am I believing? There's something I'm believing that's troubling me, then obviously it's not from God. And it can be very, very subtle. And it's not anyone's fault. If you feel like it's your fault, that's coming from your own mind. It's not somebody's fault, okay? How are we going to escape this ego? It just spins and spins and spins. And so it's something you're believing that's the issue. It's not you that's the issue. It's something you're believing. And we're going to talk about what I think are some of the more difficult things we've explored this weekend again, because I can tell that there's some struggle there. And I want to go over some of that again, and I'm weaving it in with some new revelation that actually was quite wonderful, and especially finding a new place where judgment enters our life. I was very excited to hear this and receive it last night. So I want to go back to a word that when I said it, I saw a lot of women jump up in their seats, especially the women. Now, I'm sure men seem to be less sensitive to this word. But anyway, I'm talking about myself now, my true self. How do I escape the ego? Well, when I think of God, I don't want compassion from God. Now, forget about the compassion you give to others. It's not what we're talking about, okay? I don't want compassion from God. I don't want more health. I don't want more money, okay? I want to know Him who is life eternal. That's the first principle. And that sounds like a big, broad, general term. But when we begin to know ourselves, we're going to know Him. And we have to realize at some point it becomes synonymous. At some point. And so when there's conflict there, I'm violating the prime directive. I'm violating James 3. If there isn't peace and gentleness, then I'm trusting in something that's not real. It might seem true in this world, but it doesn't mean it's real. But it might seem true in all of the details that we get involved in, you know, and Rex can sympathize with this a little bit, but when you're in business, you're doing stuff. And when you're working, you're doing stuff. And how can we rise above the activity in this world and also be at peace at the same time? And there's a way to do it. It's happening with me. And one of the things that helps me is I have this check in there and says, okay, Michael Olin, right? This name that's been given to me. Are you going to react to what you're hearing? Or are you going to wait so that you can respond in wisdom to what you're hearing? Are you going to react? Because the ego always reacts. Yep. Rah! Everybody's done a rah. Everybody's done that. Even the nice people. Not as often, but they still do it. I want to know him. Fear not, I am here. Well, that's another great statement, and I certainly don't want to be afraid, but what does that mean? And I believe we've touched on a lot of tentacles this weekend, a lot of tentacles. Some of them are painful because we think we know something. And the scripture not only says if you think you're somebody when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. It also says if you think you know something when you don't know anything, you're in trouble. It says that very word. You've got to come to a place where you say, I don't know anything, so you can be taught. And I don't care where you're at. You have to. You can't enter into this spiritual life through knowledge, through reason, through debate. You can't. It's not going to happen. And so I want to tell you about a conversation I had with a person. And it wasn't really a conversation. I was just listening. And what I was listening to was hell and destruction. It was awful. I was born with this, and I've got this problem, and I've got that problem, and I've got health issues, and there's insanity, and there's conflict, and everybody's dropping like flies, and, you know, I mean, geez, you know, what's going on? Why am I here? Well, when you realize you're not here, you get some relief from that, don't you? There's no me. When you realize you're not here, that helps, doesn't it? Who is that person that's here? Who is that masked man? The phantom man we talked about last October. Who is this phantom man? Who is he? It's a ghost. It's a ghost that we've attached all of our desires to. It's that same one. And so as the conversation continued, towards the end, they said, well, all I want is peace with God. Now, sad to say, there's no word I said to you, there's nothing in that conversation that's true, including peace with God. You will never have peace with a God, will you? This a God that you want to have peace with, his name is Jehovah. And he's following you around with a flamethrower, ready to get you. So you can't have peace with a God. So this whole conversation was about the me, 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 me. I want, I want, I want. The whole conversation was about I want. And you're never going to get deliverance there. There's no such thing as God doing you a favor in your world. Okay? God doesn't do you favors in your world. Why? Because your world's in the future. And God doesn't live in the future. Your world is in the future. Remembering the past, the fears from the past get projected into the future. And it's a double, two-headed monster then, isn't it? There is no peace there, and there's no God there that's going to give you any peace. Hello? He's not there. There isn't anybody there. And we talked about this yesterday when, again, we found out that God's not going to do us any favors in our world. Now, I'm jumping ahead here. I got to wait. Jesus said, I'm going to leave the world and go to the Father. And we need to make that personal, okay? For some reason, we think we're special. Uh-oh. It's quiet. You're not special. What is our Father? What does it say He is? What's one of the attributes of our Father? It says He's a servant. He's a servant to us. So how does that make you special? If the Father within me is a servant, that's always going outward. It's not coming inward. You're not looking for something when you're a servant. That's our Father. That's your real identity. So that's why God isn't going to do us any favors. He said, go out into the world and be ye fishers of men. Did He say go out and try to get some more stuff or go out and try to find the answers to your problems? And when you're consumed by your problems, you're a help to no one, including yourself. Because you're consumed by the issue. I don't care how small it is or how big it is. You're consumed by the issue. And you become no good in this earth. No good. So you don't have any special privileges. You have no access to anything that brings you blessing in your world. It's really a religious spirit. Because every religion in the world is trying to bring blessing into their idea of the kingdom of God. Including your religion, by the way. We all have a religion. The me religion. The my religion. The give me this, give me that religion. We probably have several religions. And then you keep stacking all these billions of people up on top of each other. And my gosh, it's a hell of a mess. So we've misunderstood the scripture when we read it. When it says, in this world you will have tribulation. The word this is the wrong word. Because the ego always projects that out to someone else. That's not me. It should say our world. My world is the correct term. My world. So we've misunderstood the scripture when it says this world. We think it means the world out there, that when we receive a blessing from God, that it has to do with our world, this fake blessing, this thing that changes all the time. But it's really your world, the me world. This is the world that Jesus left when He said, I must leave the world and go to my Father. And we talked extensively about that yesterday. Where did He go? And we heard that we don't have to leave this room or leave our chair to go to the Father. We just have to leave our world of I want, I want, I want. And let go, as we said Friday night, of the answer to your problem. Just let go of it and say, does how much, why does it matter so much which way this goes? Why does it matter so much? Whichever way it goes. We even know within a fleshly realm, 90% of the things we fear never come anyway. Gee, even in that realm. But we had one bite us, and that one holds us in bondage. When that's the one you need to let go of, right? Let go of the memory of it. So I don't want compassion from God. Jesus didn't say, I'm the way, the compassion, and the life. And I said this yesterday. As a matter of fact, he said just the opposite. He said, I've come to create division. I've come to bring a sword. And what? Divide the flesh from the spirit. I've come to pierce the veil that mushes up everything that's real. And the best it can be is a stab of joy that's fleeting. So it's got to be divided. It has to be clearly divided. So I don't want compassion from God. I want truth from God. I don't want money. I don't want more health. I want truth. And a sense of humor, I guess, is screwed on to this stuff. But I want truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Where's the Bible? Where's the Bible? Yeah. There's the Bible. You got, Jocelyn got a Bible? Jocelyn has the Bible. Okay, you hold it. I'll put my hand in the Bible. I want truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Okay, we're done for the day. All right, here we go. No, just kidding. Now, here's an interesting verse that we have to interpret differently because we've got a big problem when we realize we can't bring peace into our world. We've got a big problem with that because that's what we're trying to do. Jesus said, and this is in red, and I believe it. He said, do not think. Hello? Do not think that I have come to bring peace into your world. Not the world, your world. Don't think that I've come to bring peace to your world. And that's hard enough. He says, no, no, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, we better find out what the sword is, huh? Yep. Because we think, again, he's coming to get us. Now, if you remember, if you can stay with me on the little things, it's to follow the bouncing ball. What did he say he was going to slay the wicked with? Righteousness. Righteousness. If the sword isn't a bad thing, he's trying to separate you from your false sense of righteousness. He's trying to save you from the hell that you want to bring peace into. And hello, we think we know something. Oh, God. Yeah, no, I got. Here we go, you know. Sound like a duck, you know. Well, that's how my duck sounds anyway. Yeah, there you go. Now, are we not hooked up here?
We are. I'm using two of them.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, good.
Just to be safe.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Wow, that's really got a special meaning this weekend, doesn't it? You will never find peace in your world because of what? It's out in the future. It's in the I want. It's in the I don't have. It's in the I'm not satisfied. Hello? God does not live in a bottomless pit called hell and destruction. There is nothing there but an illusion. Nothing. And I don't care if your fingernail breaks. Thank God your finger didn't break then, okay? I don't care what it is, how small it is. I don't care what it is. Stop. When James 3 isn't happening in your life, stop and turn around and walk yourself back up to the beginning of the verse. Now, I use, this is so wonderful. This is how the scripture is its own commentary. Look at the verse. The answer's all around it. It's all around it. If you're not at peace, it means you're believing in something that's not true. And that could be what? Legions of things. Legions of things. Legions, it said. And when you're there, you're what? Not in your right mind, it also said. You're not in your right mind. Man is insane. Man is insane because he's following this mind that doesn't know truth. And at best, we've been mixing truth and our insanity together, and it spoils the whole thing. At best. Because if it's fleeting, because if you're not living in peace, you're mixing them together. And it ruins the whole thing, we're told. Ruins all of it. So I don't want compassion, and I don't want peace in my world. I'm sort of glad there's not peace in my world now, because now I've learned how to escape. So, here's another very subtle thing, recording number 131. We say, now I want you to listen really carefully to this, because you'll miss it if you don't really listen carefully, and I'll repeat it. We say, my Father judges no man. We hear that, and we say it, my Father judges no man. But then we want something. We say, my Father judges no man, but we want something. Now I'm going to tell you the subtlety of this. We're stuck in a circumstance where we're looking for something, but we say, my Father judges no man. Now, the two are opposites, and I'm going to show you why right now. Listen to me now. The ego certainly believes that, and he loves this statement. Of course, he's known it all the time, that the Father doesn't judge me. He's known that. And I mean, how long did it take God to figure this out, you know, that I'm righteous? How long did it take him? So weaved in with this desire for anything, relief from a hangnail, weaved in with this desire for anything to change, weaved within the desire to change anything, you will begin to feel judgment. I'm going to say it again. Weaved in with the desire for anything, you will begin to feel judgment. Why? Because you don't have it, and you're wondering why you don't have it. Weaved in with the desire for anything, you begin to feel judgment. Judgment completely surrounds that desire. Because where are we at with this desire of something we don't have? We're in the I want stage. And we certainly don't have what we want in the present moment. And we're completely surrounded by judgment. Now, I'm going to say it a different way now that should help bring it home. We feel, in this place, we feel judgment from God. Not just judgment. We feel judgment from God. Because of the lack, but we become suspicious that we need to do something about it. Good or evil, we then become suspicious that we have done something wrong or we need to do something more to change this issue. We become suspicious, and that suspicion is a suspicion of judgment that comes from up here, not from here. We become suspicious. And I've heard it many times. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? There it is. Why is this happening? Well, you better listen to some more tapes, right? You better meditate more. Because if you listen to some more truth, you'll get those fringe benefits you want that you don't have, okay? You'll get them. Baloney. It's the wrong room, okay? The moment you begin to seek something, you enter into your world. The moment you begin to seek something, and not only are you consumed, but you're really worthless as a servant. I'm not talking about judgment. I'm talking about you're muffling your father. You're surrounding your father with your desire. This father that always is giving righteousness to everything. He's always giving. He's always giving. He's always giving. Well, how can you give something if you ain't got nothing? It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's pretty hard. And it's hard to hear that. So in all this, we live in a place of judgment, a place that's never satisfied. We feel judgment, we feel fear, we feel something's wrong. And within those feelings, we can never be satisfied because we still believe in a God that we can get something from. We still believe in a God that rewards and punishes. It's subtle. We say we don't believe in that God, but when we follow our desire around like a rabid dog, we're saying to our Father, I'm not satisfied, you're not all, and you're not my reward. Where is that place? We've got scripture that tells us all the time, where is that place? So you can't say, I understand truth that will get fringe benefits, and at the same time say, you don't believe in a God of reward and punishment. You can't say that. It's a dichotomy. These statements are diametrically opposed to each other, and we've never seen it. It's subtle. It's the beginning of our sorrows. It's just the beginning. And there's a thousand ways to rationalize it in your world. And you can get compassion, hello, for it. You can get compassion for it from a lot of people. So we can't say that. We must stop and be silent. And never look back. Here's the thing you look back to. The wisdom from above is first pure. You march back up, James 3, and say, Father, what is it that I want? What is it I'm believing in that's not producing peace right now? Because you'll never find peace tomorrow when your answer comes. Because with the answer comes fear again, doesn't it? With that answer comes the fear of what's going to happen next. And was it enough? Will it happen again? I mean, the list goes on and on. Will it happen again? So now I'm going to give you a couple tools that should really help you, you know, if you pay attention to these things, okay? So, number one tool, how can I go from a seeking time bomb? Whoops, time man, same thing. How can I go from a seeking time bomb to a soul of eternal love? Now, this soul of eternal love always is given the same thing. Always. I change not. This soul of you, this eternal love soul of you, is always giving. How can I love my neighbor? One of the stumbling blocks is you have been so occupied with trying to juggle all the desires in your world that it's pretty hard to find time to love for others. Pretty hard. And this is why when you get together with people and if they don't ask you the thing the right way or a different way, Rasha, I'm busy. I haven't got enough time for that crap. Why don't you leave me alone? Right? I come home with that disposition almost every night. It's surrounding me. It's nipping at my heels. Why? Because I'm in there loving these people I've got and helping them with their problems. And it gets on me. It rubs on you, right? And that's okay. That's okay, but we've got to know how to escape it. That's all. Don't judge yourself for it. Just know the answer on how to escape it. And you've got to be still and get back to your center, back to the center. And don't look at the results. Don't measure how long you were in hell, because that's hell too. Right? Just know how to get out. It's a feeling that pulls you out. It's a feeling that is eternal love that pulls you out. It's a feeling. We talked about yesterday with David and Elaine. It's an intuition. I trust an intuition of a woman. I think it's very spiritual. And women sometimes mistake it for emotion, and men sometimes mistake it for emotion. But anytime I make a big decision in my business, my wife and Joelle and Christine and Debbie all pipe in. And you know what I ask them? What do you feel? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? It's just a check right before we pull the cord, the rip cord, right on the parachute. How do you feel about this? And I want to know. And they might not know why they don't feel comfortable. They might not have anything they can put their hand on, and that's the intuition. Now, this intuition in you is your spirit. And what? It never judges by appearance. And it's a place of peace. So it's also called an intuition of righteousness, of righteous judgment. That's what it's called. Spell check sometimes awful, isn't it? Especially when it's on your phone. I got a word in here called finagling, and I didn't put that in there. Maybe it's supposed to be in there. Huh? Have you ever done any finagling? Oh, yeah. It's in there out of context. I better say it because it's in there, right? Finagling. Finagling. It says when you're finagling to start to move out of your time zone. It's supposed to say when you're finally moving out of your time zone, but that's okay. We'll leave them both in there. When you finally begin to move out of this Eastern time zone, what'd you say? I'm sorry. Yeah. When you begin to start moving out of the Eastern time zone, that's where we're at right now. So this is where we're going to go. We're going to begin to move out of the Eastern time zone. You're going to go to the Central time zone. The rest are going to stay in the Eastern. We want to get out of all of them, don't we?
Yeah.
We want to get into the God time zone. Right? You can start to enjoy who you are and begin. Now, here's what's key, because Jesus said, love your neighbors yourself. When you begin to escape your time zone, you then can begin to recognize those around you as the Spirit of Christ. Why? Why is that? Because your ego isn't smothering you and drowning you in the ocean of time. the time that judges by appearances. You can never get to righteous judgment if you can't get past the desire that you want. You never can get there. Now, what do you do if you need something? You wait. Because if there's no peace in your need, then you better go backwards. You aren't going to change it. He said you can't change anything by taking thought. You aren't going to change the outcome by your struggling and whining and grinding and squalling and rolling on your back like a dog. Okay, it's not going to change anything. And God's never in a hurry. So, here's the thing I've learned long ago. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Uh-huh. Don't do a thing. Just wait. Go play racquetball. If you got to take a ball peen hammer and slap your knee real hard so you forget about it, go ahead. Now, if I see somebody send me a picture with all these bruises on them, well, I will know what they were doing. I'm serious, though, about the method, right? I don't care what you got to do. You've got to get your mind off this desire that's causing you to toss and turn all night on your pillow. It throws your neck out, too. Yeah. And you can't sleep. And it does affect you physically. It tears you up physically, right? So, what were the last two commands? To love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. That's the business of the kingdom. That's our business. That's the business we're in. Loving your neighbor. Not complaining about your neighbor, not bitching about your neighbor, not wanting something from your neighbor. And I remember seeing this the first time, right before Liz left us. She and I had an unbelievable spiritual relationship. And I remember I knelt down at her side one day when she was getting sicker. And I said, Liz, I'm crazy about you. I said, I'm just crazy in love with you. And this woman knew what I was talking about. And she understood it. I said, I'm crazy in love with you. And I said, you know why? I don't want anything from you. I don't want anything from you. I just want to be here for you. But what are people doing out in the world? The famous Hollywood people, they can't even stay together because it's all about sex and rock and roll. And eventually it doesn't feel good, right? And so they switch partners, right? Well, what are they doing? To this person they're with, I want, you know, I want more sex, I want more money, I want to rub, you know, whatever it is, you know, I want, right? Well, this, when I said those words to her, it was a feeling I had. I'd never spoken before to anyone. And since then, the Father has said to me, Liz is your wife. This is Liz. That's Liz. The spirit that was in Liz is in my wife. And it's in you. And it's in you. And it's in you. And up here comes my neighbor bashing in the door, and it's in him. Ah! Oh, it's in you. By the way, would you pay me for those sprinkler heads you broke? That's been a story many times. Have you heard it? Yeah, the hillbilly neighbors. Yeah. I probably could have quit calling them hillbillies. I've got to give them a new name, don't I? Okay. Now we're going to say something more that's going to help you with this. You have to see through the appearances and realize that there is a spirit within man that is identical to the spirit within yourself. This is going to help you This is a key that's going to help you to see people for who God says they are and not who you think they are. Who does God say this person is that's doing stuff? Look what they're doing. Holy cow. What are you doing? So we want to correct them. Or we don't want to fellowship with them or whatever it is, you know. Just listen. Can you just sit down and shut up and listen? Just sit down and listen. And when they're all done, you know, maybe the Spirit in the meantime will give you some word that's going to tell them that you love them. Okay? And if you can't come up with that, don't say anything. But we certainly aren't going to get anywhere judging them. And I always find a word comes. The quieter I am, the more I listen, a word will come when it needs to. But I've learned to just listen, and seeing the fact that I'm not reacting anymore, it's starting to bring a response of compassion instead of judging what I'm hearing. It's working. It's working with my brother, who is a crazy wild man, like his older brother. I've just learned to listen more. It's the only difference. And he, believe it or not, as crazy as he is, the guy does the work of five people, doesn't he? He's a crazy worker. He is just, and if you aren't the way he is, get out of my way. And in that, you know, we've had to work with him and say, now listen, you got to have some help here. You can't drive them down the road all the time because they don't work the way you do. I said, that's why you're the manager. You've got to teach them. They're young kids. Spend some time with them and teach them. And he's starting to do that, and he's starting to enjoy his work more. So the spirit within every living thing is the same spirit as yours. And now I'm going to show you scripture that proves this dramatically, proves it dramatically. And if you've judged it or done it unto the least of these, you're violating your own spirit. You getting suspicious now? The least of these? What did Jesus say to Paul when he struck him down off his horse with a lightning bolt? What did he say? Why do you persecute me, Paul? Paul, why are you persecuting me? Oh my gosh. Why are you persecuting me? Was he persecuting Jesus? This was after Jesus ascended. Why are you persecuting me? He was going around killing people who called themselves Christians, murdering them, throwing them into jail. And Jesus says to him, why do you persecute me? Jesus didn't say Tom, Dick, or Harry. He said, why do you persecute me? Not the human being. That wasn't what he was talking about. He was talking about this spirit that is within man. Can you see your spirit that you think now is being transformed in everyone out there? Because God sees it that way because he's not in a time zone. God sees everyone perfect. That's the law of the kingdom, the law of perfection we talked about yesterday. That's why the prime directive is so important. Why are you persecuting my spirit? If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. If you're judging those who you like the least, you must realize you're judging yourself. And that judgment you hold on to. And so who gets hurt? Yeah, we told you about the backdoor neighbors. Liz gave him a new name, the backdoor neighbors. That Diane sat up there and we released them and decided not to resist them anymore, and they don't know anything about it. They don't want to talk to us. Diane's made some attempts. We're waving at them now. It's been a few years since it all happened. But we released ourselves from our judgment towards them, and they weren't even there. That's why you don't have to go anywhere to leave your world and go to the Father. Just release it in your own mind. Just let go of it. What do you want to do with it anyways if you got everything you want? What would you want to do to them? You want to kick them? You want to write you a check? What do you want? So you're judging yourself. Don't lahan to it. Don't worry about what initiates it. The mind initiates it. The serpent mind initiates it. The I want initiates it. That will never go away in a moment. So how do we get in front of it, right? How can we get in front of that? Your mind is going to continually nip at you and continually tell you something's wrong. The mind, the human mind, can only look at things in a good and evil filter. As soon as the mind goes out, it compares something with something. It can even look somewhat pleasant. This horse is a 9.9 and this horse is a 9.8. They're both gorgeous, but we've got a scale. See? Well, they're both great. Well, that's, you know, if that's where you end up, that'll probably be all right, okay? But I would say we probably don't have a lot of things like that. Certainly not the ones that keep us up at night. Aren't that, right? So I'll give you that one, okay? If you want to judge horses, go ahead. We'll let you judge horses. The mind of man always finds something wrong. Sometimes it finds something right. And because it finds something right, it sees many things that are wrong, that don't line up with it, what it sees that's right. So the more, I'm not going to say who this is, but there's somebody I know, and everybody around him says he never admits he's wrong. Ever. Now what is that? That's pure egocentric living. Now, we've got to get off the sense of somebody's wrong too, don't we? But our right sets us up for the wrong. The good sets us up for the bad. The more religious we get, the more evil we see in the world. So, this turmoil of the serpent mind, Jesus says, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So, if you want a shortcut, I like shortcuts. If you want a shortcut, who is that person that you struggle with the most? Realize that the spirit of that person is your Father that dwells in you. Realize the spirit of that person is your Father that dwells in you. And let go of the thing you've attached to them that you think you deserve, or the thing they've done that's honked you off. Let go of it, because it's honked you off. You're the one honked off. How long you want to hang on to your honk? Right? There's a good term that'll help you remember it. Don't hang on to your honk anymore. You get honked off, right? People get honked off. Don't hang on to the honk. We'll get a little sign. Let go of your honk. Okay. Here we go. Now, how can we begin to judge the world in righteousness? God certainly does. Your Father certainly does. And three times in Psalms, David said, he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. So that's where I got the clue when I first read that verse. That's where I first got the clue that my definition of righteous judgment was right. I said, what's uprightness mean? Righteous judgment means uprightness? That sounds good to me. These were the first three verses that made me suspicious about this. This is where this righteous judgment came from. I got suspicious because I took the word at the end and started walking back up the verse to say, well, what's this? How do I compare it to this other word? And then in Psalm 96, he said, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Then he said in Psalm 98, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Value. The people with equity. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And what was Jesus' MO? Isaiah 11:3. He would not judge by what he saw, or reprove by what he hear, but in righteousness would he reprove the poor. With righteousness. Jesus, God, slays us with his love. That's, he said, out of his mouth the sword would come and slay the wicked with the message of righteous judgment. Wow. No wonder all the people were trying to trample him under, because they can't handle that stuff. They like it when it applies to their ego. But as soon as you tell them Hitler should be judged in righteousness, they got a problem with that. Whoops, did I say Hitler? Can't we come up with another one? Who was the worst one? Stalin? Charles Manson? I mean, they're all over the place, aren't they? Can you believe in faith right now that God is not judging this world in righteousness and never has? That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? Because somebody should get him. He deserves something, doesn't he? This young boy sitting out in a Colorado prison right now is going to get the electric chair. They're pretty sure of it. Is that righteous judgment? Do you see where we've gotten as a society and as a people? Who is going to step out in righteous judgment and declare the love of God? Okay, we're not here to minister to the world. Your world is those people that are in your universe. Okay, we aren't worried about what's going on out beyond our reach. But you have your mates, you have your friends, the people around you. Those people need to hear that they're being judged in righteousness. And they need to understand what it means. So God is not judging the world, and he's not going to do you any favors by bringing peace into your world. Why? Because he's already seeing the world in righteousness. Why don't you have peace in your world? It's because of your own mind and the desires of your heart. That's why. God already sees your world in righteousness. Your world. He sees it and he's judging it in righteousness. When will you get in line with that? And what's your view of the world? Do you have a list of things you don't like after you listen to the world news with Barbara Sawyer? Diane Sawyer? Wow, look at that. What's this, you know? Off we go, right? Is God trying to change anything in this world? Well, if he is, he's doing an awful job, isn't he? Pretty pathetic looking out there, if he is. And the answer is no. Why is that again? Because he's judging the world in righteousness. He doesn't see what we see. And he isn't trying to fix something, and he isn't trying to give you something. And he isn't going to get you anything. He says, I am your reward. Now, when will we learn to be satisfied with that in this moment? Because if you can't find it now, you're never going to find it. Yeah, that you think if the circumstances get just right and you play your cards right, you roll the dice right, then I'll do it. You really, if you think about it, we're really waiting for that. And where is that? It's out there somewhere in the future. And we never get there. So right now, you've had the perfect parents, you've got the perfect mate, you've got the perfect friend, you've got the perfect job. Everything you got is perfect. And start thanking God for it, whatever it is. So you're going to bring perfection into your world. You are. By withdrawing your judgment of the world. By not judging by appearances anymore. God's not looking at this world and saying, well, the world as we know it might not last much longer. There's going to be this great war, and the bear is going to come down, and the beast is going to come down, and there's going to be Armageddon. Here it comes. You know, we're all waiting for the world to end. But your world is the one that needs to end, not that world. Your world is the one that needs to end. And that's what it's talking about all through Scripture. Jesus had to leave his world as a human being. He had to escape. He had to be delivered from hell. And it said he was in hell. Hello, we have trouble with that. It said he entered into hell. And in these books, you know, Christ is sent into hell, they talk about how he was down talking to David and Moses after he crucified himself on the cross. In between there, he was down there for 3 days yapping at those guys, down in some hole in the bottom of the earth. When he said to the Pharisees, who were judging everybody and everything that moved, how will you escape hell? Present tense. And here's what's unbelievably gorgeous. The story of Lazarus and the rich man. And there's the rich man crying out, could you send Lazarus back here to give me a drop of water? To do what? To do what? Cool my tongue. Now, if he was in the hell, we thought, wouldn't he need a swimming pool? Wouldn't he need a fire truck? Wouldn't he need a team of fire trucks? Why in the world did he need water to cool his tongue? Because his whole life was full of cursing and blessing. Whole life. And James says, what? Yeah, James, we've said it before. We know the verse. What sets hell on fire is the tongue. Yep. And now you've got the premise down. And you go to Proverbs 27:11, it says, hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hey, what does he do when he's not satisfied? Wah, 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 wah. Give me this, give me that. You're bad, you're this, you're that. Give me that. That's what we do. So, everything in time has to be surrendered. Every desire, every longing has to be surrendered. This is the thing we put on the altar, okay? Everything that our mind longs for. Now, we talked before, you're still going to go out, and you're going to be a mother, and you're going to be a worker, but you're going to have a whole different disposition towards what you're doing now. Instead of pushing and fighting and grabbing, you're going to just be, you can't wait for an opportunity to give something to somebody. Whatever it is, it could just be a good word. I know you said Hannah's nice to everybody. Well, that's good, isn't it? She's telling her kids she's teaching who they are. And she says they understand it, these little kids. Isn't that something? And why is that? They haven't been corrupted by all the crap us adults have come up with our whole life because we're building our war chest. We've got a huge war chest of things we got problems with, right? And eventually you got to take Prozac or drink more whiskey. Hey, Pete, the church are full of people on drugs. Yep. And I felt that way myself, you know? When you get heavy laden and there's no rest, you know, sometimes it's good to numb it a little bit, you know? Everything in time is always trying to get, trying to become. Everything in time is always trying to get and trying to become. And in all this, while you are trying to bring peace into your world and trying to become, you are unknowingly denying that I already am. You're denying the Father. You're denying that I am. And if you try to become what I am, then you deny what I am. Because that which is I am has already become. It's already become. If you try to become an American citizen after you are one, after you is one, you're just wasting your time doing something you already have. Isn't that a great example? You forgot you're an American citizen, so you're back over to immigration. You got your green card out. You didn't even know it was already stamped American citizen. Welcome. Say Pledge of Allegiance. Cross your heart. Hope to die. And off you go. You forgot all about it, right? We have got amnesia about who we are. We've got amnesia. And we've been trained out of it our whole life, right? So, you are already a divine being. And you can never, never become what you already are. You can never become that. You can never become what you already are. And so we've discovered this weekend what it is that's blocking that, haven't we? We've discovered that it's the mind of man embracing the desires, not understanding the ego that buries every man in time. Buries every man in time. Your ego buries you in time. It causes fear. So, let go of all the things you want in time that pull you back into waiting and waiting and waiting for a blessing to come. Let go of this serpent that hides within your desire for something more. It hides, right? It hides within a desire. And what's also hidden in there is judgment, a suspicion that I've not done something right. Well, I finally got what I deserve. Woe is me. So, you can never become what you already are. So what is your name? What's your new name now? I'm going to get everybody that's listening to you a new name. Stop trying to become famous. Stop trying to be recognized. Stop saying you know something. The moment you say you know something, you block off your ability to learn and meditate. And I remember when Tony was down in Jacksonville a couple years ago, I'm listening to all this stuff and I'm just, it's every word's new. And I'm back there and I'm going, man, I don't know nothing. I know nothing. And it made me afraid. I was encouraged, but it also made me afraid because here I spent my whole life and I don't know nothing. Well, that was my first qualification to begin to move into being able to share. And after that moment, it was 2 years later before I even felt confident because I was still afraid of my ego. And I still get that feeling sometimes before I go to prepare And right after that, he says, well, that's good because you can't do anything. And then the Spirit comes and gives me the word. So I don't want to forget that. And you shouldn't forget it either. You can't help your neighbor if your ego's in between you two. You can't help them. Because you're going to carry a little bag of tricks in with all your problems you want. And it's going to cloud your judgment. Your righteous judgment. It'll cloud it. So this is your name. I'm giving you something specific. And we talked about it before. I'm going to quote you the first verse in Barak that we quoted, I think, yesterday morning. It's in the notes, but anyways. This is so wonderful. I love this verse. It says, this is your name forever. That God has called you. This is your name forever. And you won't believe what the words are. I'm just getting goosebumps. This is your name forever. Peace of righteousness, it says. The peace of righteousness is your name. Wow, can you believe that? Why would he use those two words that we've said 1,000 times this weekend? I find a connection. I'm seeing a thread here. It's a big one. And it's going to smother your artery that you've been calling an ego. We're building a new artery. And we're going to cut the other one off. And we're going to, what do they do when they sapling in a tree? We're going to put a new branch in that artery and it's going to suffocate. We're going to graft in a new artery. There you go. He says, for your name forever will be called by God, peace of righteousness and glory of godliness. Now, how can you be the glory of God, godliness to your neighbor if you're consumed by everything you want? You can't be. It smothers this out. What a wonderful name. You are the peace of righteousness and the glory of godliness. Thank God for the Catholic Bible. Barak, Baruch, 5:4. Barak 5:4. I think that's the King James. The RSV is really good too. It might be in the RSV. Okay? So, thank you all that's joined us on the web. We're going to just have a moment of silence, and we're done this year for this seminar. So, we'll just be quiet for a little bit, and then we'll adjourn.